stronger than you know. Let the fire in your heart begin to grow. Loving me is enough. I'm breaking through the dark, shining with my truth and lighting up my heart. Every day I rise, every moment's tough, but loving me is enough. Through the storms and doubts you'll find your way. Voices may try to pull you, but you won't sway. Power in your hands, your story's just begun.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Loving Me is Enough podcast. I'm your girl, as usual, Natasha Hatchett, and this is the podcast where we talk about real life situations and our trauma. We not only talk about it, we learn, we process, and we heal through it. Today's episode is deeply personal. In fact, I almost didn't record it, not because I don't have anything to say, but because every time I think about this topic, I'm reminded that grief has a way of making you revisit places you thought you had already left. 6 years ago, I recorded an episode called Grief, the Silent Sniper. At that time, my wounds were fresh and everything I shared came from a place of immediate pain. I was trying to make sense of something that didn't make sense at all. I was trying to survive. But today, I'm coming back to this conversation from a very different place. Not because the grief is gone, not because I've moved on, but because 6 years later, 6 years have given me perspective that pain alone couldn't. You see, this week and this month, we're going to be talking about grief in different ways. And grief have a strange way of changing your shape, changing your form, changing who you are. It doesn't always announce itself. It doesn't always knock on the door. Sometimes it's still quietly through a memory, a song, a smell, a holiday, or a random Tuesday when you least expect it. That's why I call it the silent sniper. Because when you think you've learned where it's hiding, it catches you off guard. And 6 years later, I'm still calling it a sniper because that's exactly what it is. 6 years ago on August 1st, my father died. He passed on. It was not something I was ready for. It was not something that I wanted to face, but it was certainly something that happened. And when it happened, nothing or no one could have prepared me for the days ahead, the weeks ahead. But today I understand something I didn't understand then. Grief wasn't trying to destroy me because I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I would live to see another day. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. And in the midst of all of that, I had to eulogize my father. So imagine, I'm going to give you a clear picture of how this all took place. And I want to say this may be a trigger for some. So if this is going to be a trigger for you, I'm going to humbly suggest that you don't listen to this episode. So imagine this, you get a phone call and the person says, hey, I normally talk to your dad about this time of morning and I have been unable to reach him all morning. You get up out of your bed, you put on your clothes, but there's this feeling in the pit of your stomach that tells you something is wrong. You're not thinking death, but you just know that something is wrong. So you get in your car. You drive to your dad's, you open the door, you call his name from the front door, and you hear no answer. You open the bedroom door, and voila, there he is. It's a memory that I will never get out of my head. It's a memory that I will never, ever be able to forget. And so here it is 6 years later, what I thought I was coping with well, I realized that I'm not. Grief wasn't trying to destroy me. What it was trying to do was teach me. And I know that sounds so strange because when you're hurting, you don't want to really learn a lesson. You want relief. You want the pain to stop. You don't want one more conversation because you want one more conversation with that person and not with everybody else. You want one more hug. And in my dad's case, you want one more crazy off the cuff joke. You want one more chance to say the things that you didn't get to say. And so it feels like in this moment, in your moments of grief, that grief is saying that that's not possible. And I know that feeling. I know what it's like to replay conversations in your head. I know what it's like to wish you had one more day. I know what it's like to wonder if the person knew how much you love them. I know what it's like to imagine what would life look like if they were still here, because there are so many times I sit and I wonder, like, dang, what would we be doing if he was still here? Those questions don't disappear, but I'm here to tell you that over time, something else begins to happen. You begin to realize that grief isn't only about losing someone else. Sometimes grief is about losing the version of yourself that existed before the loss, because who I was 6 years ago, I can never get her back. Who I'm becoming over the loss of my dad is someone that I never thought I would be. Because after loss, you never feel the same. You never quite feel the same way you felt before the person passed away. And maybe that's okay, but that was something I was trying so hard to hold on to who I was then instead of evolving to who I'm becoming and who I've become. I think one of the biggest lies we tell grieving people is you'll get over it. Please stop telling people that, because that's not true. Get over someone who helped. How do you get over someone who helped shape your life? How do you get over the person whose voice still echoes in your memories? How do you get over a parent who helped make you who you are, good, bad, or indifferent? I don't think healing looks like getting over it. So we as a people have to stop telling people that you'll get over it, you'll get through it. What if they don't? What if I don't? What I think is this. I think healing looks like learning to carry love and loss in the same heart, because two things are possible at the same time. And even though you will say, well, you don't want to carry the loss, but you carry it. Without question, without mention, you carry it. For years, I fought grief. I don't really remember, and this is me being honest and transparent, I don't really remember ever sitting or stopping long enough to process the moment. The day I walked in, terrified. Thank God for my brother who was present in the home and was able to automatically take over, because I couldn't. At the time I was married, but my then husband, he wasn't with me at the time because I left him at the house because I didn't think I was going to, you know, experience what I'm experiencing. And I remember having to pick up the phone and call him. And I remember having to pick up the phone and call my mom, because she was the first person I called after my second person I called after I called my husband at the time. And I remember picking up the phone and the weight. Now, we know cell phones don't weigh that much, but the weight of the cell phone in my hand to relay that message. So I never really stopped to process anything. After that initial moment, I went into go mode. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to get this done. I have to get that done. What about this? What about that? Got to call this person. Got to do this. Got to do that. And for years, I stayed in that mode, even through prepping for his funeral, prepping the eulogy, prepping to travel, because I had to take my dad back to the Virgin Islands to bury him. That was his final resting place. So even in all that, I never processed it. So as the years went by, it was something that I kind of just pushed to the side. You know, the death anniversary date will come and I would just move past it. His birthday will come and I will have a little, you know, little feeling about it, but I would never really process. So I never sat and processed until August 1st, 2026. It hit me. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it felt like the whole shelf of bricks had fell on me and I could not get up. 6 years ago, I just wanted to stop crying. I wanted to stop feeling the way I felt on certain dates. I wanted to stop hurting. I wanted birthdays and Father's Days to stop feeling so heavy. I wanted to stop lying to myself. I wanted to feel normal again. But what is normal after you've lost someone? But grief kept reminding me, your normalcy has changed. Life is no more life as you know it. And maybe some of you listening today know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe your grief didn't come from losing a parent. Maybe it came from losing a child, a spouse, a sibling, a best friend, someone close to you. Maybe your grief came from divorce, because we think that grief is only happens when death happens. But grief also happens when you have to divorce someone that you've been married to. I don't care how long you've been married to that person or that individual. You've shared intimate space, intimate times, intimate moments with that person. And when that relationship ends, when that marriage ends, that is a form of grief. Maybe you're suffering through the grief of a broken engagement, a miscarriage. Oh my gosh, I can go on and on about a miscarriage. Been there, done that. Or maybe you're just grieving an estranged relationship, an estranged friendship. Maybe you're grieving someone who's still alive, because grief is grief. And there's no one size fit all for grief. There's no book on you should grieve over this and not grieve over that. You can literally grieve someone that's still alive. They're alive, but the relationship you once had with them no longer exists. I was friends with this young lady for over, Jaden will be 19. So I was friends with this young lady for over 20 years. And over one comment via text, crazy enough, a friendship end. That was another grieving process. Because that was someone I considered not just a friend, a sister. We shared intimate thoughts, intimate moments. We were each other's secret keepers. And that was someone that I would pray with, that I would walk through my ministry journey with. Grief, and her birthday, coincidentally, is August 1st. So while I'm grieving the death of my dad on August 1st, I'm also grieving the loss of a friendship of 20 years whose birthday just happened to be August 1st. So anyway, grief doesn't only show up at funerals. Sometimes it sits beside us while everyone else thinks we're doing just fine. I can be in a room full of people at that time, in that moment, 6 years ago, and I can be smiling and I can be laughing and everyone would think I'm okay, but I was grieving and didn't know it. I was holding on to things and didn't know it. The hardest part about grief isn't always the tears. Sometimes it's the silence. It's when everyone else has moved on, but you're still carrying someone they no longer mention. People stop asking how you're doing. The sympathy cards stop coming. The phone calls become less infrequent. And then life continues. And somehow, you're expected to continue with it. But grief doesn't follow the calendar. It doesn't care that 6 years have passed. It doesn't check the date before it reminds you of what you've lost. And I can tell you something that took me years to accept. There is no prize for pretending that you're okay. Took me years to accept it. Took me years to say, Natasha, there is no prize for you pretending that you're okay. If you're not okay, you're not okay. Why not just say you're not okay? You know why? Because pride and selfishness tells me that I have to lie and tell myself that I'm okay. That I have to put up this face for everybody else and pretend that I'm okay when I'm not. When I really just want to sit here and cry my eyes out. This year, in honor of my grief, I put up a post that don't suppress it, work through it. So what I did this year is when the feelings and the emotions came up, I allowed myself to break. I laid on my floor and I simply allowed the tears from the bottom of my soul, my gut, my feet. I allowed it to come up. I gave it sound. I gave it feeling. I allowed myself to just sit in it, because no longer can I pretend to be okay with something that I'm not okay with. Strength is in the absence of tears. Strength is allowing yourself to feel your tears without believing they'll drown you. One of the greatest gifts grief have given me is perspective. Yeah, I know you're probably saying, you got a gift from grief? Yes, because in every cloud, there is a silver lining. I no longer assume, here's the perspective I have. I no longer assume I always have another opportunity to tell someone I love them. I seize the moment. I tell people that I love them when I need to tell them that I love them. I don't hesitate to express my gratitude to someone. I don't postpone meaningful conversations the way I used to. I hug a little longer and a little tighter. I forgive so much quicker. I'm not a person that holds grudges, but after the death of my father, his death has taught me that there is nothing that important that you cannot forgive. And if you go back a few episodes, I said forgiveness is never for the person. Forgiveness is always for you. So I forgive a little quicker. I hug a little longer. I hug a little tighter. I don't postpone meaningful conversations the way I used to. I pay more attention, because grief taught me something success never could. Time is sacred. I know we walk around and we say time is money and time is something you never can get back. Well, grief made that message loud and clear for me. Time is sacred. None of us knows how much of it we have. And if you're listening today and you're carrying grief, I want you to hear me. You don't have to rush your healing. You don't have to apologize for missing them. You don't have to pretend certain days don't hurt you. Your grief isn't evidence that you're weak. It's evidence that you loved. And that's what I had to sit in. Natasha, you crying or you expressing grief or showing grief, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign that you truly love someone so deeply that you miss them. Love always leaves a fingerprint on our hearts. And as I reflect on my father 6 years later, I realized something beautiful. His life didn't end because he died. His influence didn't end because his heartbeat stopped, literally. I still hear his lessons. I still hear his voice. I still carry pieces of him in the way that I live my life. I still remember the mornings of us eating fish and grits. I still hold on to those memories. I hold on to the fact that I saw my son and his grandfather interact in a way that just was simply amazing. I saw the love, and I still remember the love that they have for each other. I remembered how proud my father was to be a grandfather. I hold on to those. And that's the beautiful thing about love. Death may interrupt his presence, interrupt him being here, but it doesn't erase the impact that he had on my life. The person you're grieving, yes, death interrupted them being physically present, but it doesn't erase the impact that they had on your life. So today, instead of asking, when will I stop grieving? Maybe we should ask a different question. Maybe we should ask, how can I honor the people, the person, the people that I've lost by the way I choose to live my life? And that's what I'm choosing to do. I'm choosing to figure out ways to honor the legacy of my father. Now, was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. But he was my father, and I loved him deeply. Because perhaps the greatest tribute we can offer those we miss isn't staying trapped in sorrow. It's allowing their love, their wisdom, and even the lessons born from our grief to shape us into people who live more intentionally. Be intentional with your living. Be intentional with everything that you do, because I go back and say it again, time is sacred. And none of us know how much time we have. We don't know how much time our husbands have, or our wives have, our children, our friends. We don't know. So why not take the opportunity to be intentional? 6 years later, I still miss them. I probably always will. But today my grief doesn't only remind me of what I lost. It reminds me how blessed I was to have someone worth missing. You know, it would be a sad situation if he died and I didn't care, or if he died and I didn't feel some type of way, but love taught me that I love someone that was worth that's worth missing. And for that, I'll always be grateful. I want us to understand, if you understand nothing else from this episode, I want us to understand that it's okay to feel what you feel. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to hold on to some of the things, the memories of your loved one. It's okay to feel like no one understands, because maybe, you know, here's what I want us to know. Everybody grieves differently, right? My grief may not look like your grief. Your grief may not look like my grief. But everybody grieves differently. Because a person isn't outwardly crying or outwardly showing emotion, that doesn't mean that they're not grieving. It doesn't mean that they're not feeling the same pain or the same burden that you may feel. It just simply means that people grieve differently. You know, one of my sisters, I can be wrong, I stand corrected if I'm wrong, I don't remember seeing her physically crying, but it doesn't mean that she didn't care. It doesn't mean that it didn't affect her. I don't even remember my brother crying. Well, at least not in my presence. And part of the reason is because he's the only boy. My brother felt like he had to be strong for all of us, and I thank him for that. But because I didn't see physical tears doesn't mean that the grief didn't hit him in the same way. It just simply means that people grieve differently. And understand this for those of us that are dealing with people, loved ones that are experiencing grief. Understand that grief changes more than your heart. It changes your relationships. It changes the way you trust. It changes your priority. It alters your faith. It changes the way you view time. It changes your appreciation for life. Some of us, grief has made us softer, stronger, more compassionate, more protective. Grief has made some of us created a different individual. It is only society that gives grief an expiration date. After the funeral, people expect you to be normal. But grief, like I said, don't follow a calendar. Some days, year six hurt more than year one, and that's okay. I don't care if you've lost that person 20 years ago. Year 20 may feel like year one, and that's okay. Healing isn't measured by how little you miss someone. Healing is measured by how fully you learn to live while still loving them. Oftentimes, I hear people say or ask, well, what do you do when God doesn't remove the pain? Well, good question. Not every prayer changes our circumstances. Sometimes God doesn't remove the grief. Sometimes he walks with us through it. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He didn't cease the fire. He didn't close the mouth of the lion in those two different situations. He got into the fire with the Hebrew boys. So, yeah, you can pray that the pain goes away. But what if this is God's way of wanting to walk with you through it? What if this is God's way of saying, I want to hold your hand through every single moment. I want to be with you closer than any father could be. Bible says he's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless, friend to the friendless. And so for those of us that walk in faith, we have to know and understand that. Doesn't change the fact that you grieve. It just simply changes the fact that you now have someone that's a comforter. Because after all, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He left the Holy Spirit as our comforter to walk us through these tough and difficult moments. And they are tough, and God knows they're difficult. But we have a comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. I just want us to know and understand. Had a moment. I just want us to know and understand that. Yes, the person is physically absent, but their life lessons, their wisdom, their knowledge, their smile, their thoughtfulness, whatever it is that you simply remember about that person still lives on. I will miss my father and continue to miss him. I will continue to miss our fish and grits morning. I will continue to miss his quirky sense of humor. I will continue to miss the way that just his presence made me feel safe and loved. And for those of you that know my story, there was an absence of my father at a certain period of my life, but that doesn't change and didn't change the way that I love him. I will forever remember the lessons he taught me silently and the ones that were very loud. My father was big on education. He believed in getting an education. He believed in conquering life through education. I will forever remember. I will forever remember that one time in fourth grade when I failed so miserably that first semester and I got the beating of my life and I never failed again academically. That was a lesson learned. That was him, even through beating my behind, teaching me the lesson and the value of education, because what you learn, they can never take away from you. He didn't say those words, but in my thought process as an adult, that's what that beating meant. You need to get it, because once you get it, Natasha, they can't take it away from you. I learned that with my dad, money was never an issue. And that was his saying. If he had it, he gave it. If he had it, he spent it. If he had it, he shared it. My dad was a giver from the heart. He gave. Now, he gonna always say something slick out of his mouth. That's probably where I get it from. He was very sarcastic, and I will continue to carry on his sarcasm. No, just saying. But that's what grief does. We remember the good times, embrace the good times, hold on to them. Don't allow people to snatch away your process. Go through it. Heal through it. Love through it. 6 years later, as I close, I still miss my father. But grief no longer reminds me of what I lost. Sometimes it reminds me of how deeply I was blessed to love someone worth missing. So here's my humble advice to you. If you're grieving today, regardless of who you're grieving, whether it's your father, your mother, your child, your spouse, your friend, a living person, a situation, a circumstance, I don't care what it is that you're grieving, because grief is grief. Here's my advice. Don't rush yourself. Don't compare your timeline to someone else's. And don't apologize for remembering. Love doesn't expire, neither does grief. We simply learn one day at a time and how to carry both. So with that being said, I know this is a very short episode, but it was personal. And before you guys hear me have a breakdown, we can close it here. Go through your process. Embrace the process. When you feel yourself breaking, allow yourself, if you're in a comfortable place, to break. Now, if you're at work, you may have to go in the car or the bathroom or find somewhere where you can be totally vulnerable with yourself. Because if you cannot be vulnerable with yourself, then who are you going to be vulnerable with? Remember that person's life. Remember their legacy. Remember the moments that you guys shared. Remember the thoughts. Remember the lessons. Remember what it is that you need to remember. Because my dear, can't nobody take away those memories from you other than you. Don't allow anyone to rush you through your process. And don't allow anyone to make you feel bad for grieving, even if it's 30 years later. So with that being said, as I always say, remember, loving you is enough. And in this instance, it's even more important. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Your story's just begun.
believe in who you are. You're the only